In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. John the theologian today, the apostle of love, the one depicted by the eagle because the eagle soars. His theology is the deepest and the simplest. His Greek is the simplest, even perhaps a little bit uneducated, but his theology is a depth that can never be completely negotiated because he speaks of love. The gospel that's chosen for him is the one in which he identifies himself cryptically, and there's some very important lessons in this gospel. The first is that love is when you just do what God tells you. It doesn't have to be anything profound. It could be that you feel the needs of others and you react to them. The Lord, seeing his mother, knowing that she would be alone, knowing that a widow without any children is very much at risk in that society, said, "Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son." So St. John took care of her until the end of her days because of love, pure and simple. Now, that's an exact command that the Lord gave, unmistakable, because he actually said it with his lips, and John heard it. But the Lord gives us these commands all the time, constantly. Very similar to this. Basically, he says, "Son, behold thy brother, thy sister." And we are to react in kind. It's really that simple. It's not complicated. There's all kinds of people needing all kinds of things. Just react to them. Just be kind. I'll tell you something that happened in the prison yesterday. I celebrated liturgy, which always is very grace-filled. And it's the most important thing that I do in the prison. But after the liturgy, just so happened the count didn't clear, probably because it went above 21 and they only have so many fingers and toes, and so they messed up the count. And so they couldn't leave, and so we just sat around. Because when the count is not clear, they count everybody to make sure nobody's escaped. And when the count's not clear, then nobody can move from where they're at, so they make sure that, you know, they don't get confused. And they were just going to sit in the chapel for a while. So we did too. We just sat there for an hour and a half and talked to them about all kinds of things. And heard a lot of personal things that I would never mention aloud. And then one of them said, "You know, what I like about you is that you stayed. Most people, it's 10 o'clock, they're going to blow right out of here. They're going to do their hour and a half, 2 hours, and then they're going to scoot. And you guys, you're in no hurry." And I thought, that's very profound. See, he felt our love just by us sitting in our chairs and talking about stuff. It's as simple as that. It's just, there's need all over the place. And I think that this simple command that the Lord gave is a command that's given to us all the time. And St. John was perfect in obeying these commands. He learned about love. He learned to love. He learned to be love. Now, he also says, when he identifies himself, of course, he never calls himself by name because of humility, but he does say, "This is that disciple that wrote these things, and we know that what he wrote is true." That's always really struck me when he says, "We know that what he said is true." How many people in the world know anything to be true? How many people? Not very many. Not very many people at all, including Christians, including people that walk through the doors of Orthodox churches. How many things do they really know to be true? Really, completely. Not that they believe with their head. Not that they believe because it's a custom. Not because of what their family tradition is. Not because it's been what they've been told by TV. How many people really believe? And how do you have real belief in your heart. I'm convinced there's a lot of people that are kind of hoping there's God and kind of hoping there's a reward, but they don't really know because they haven't experienced God. St. John experienced God. You can see that in his first epistle, absolutely. Every single line is about his direct experience with God. Staring into the abyss. And the abyss is one thing, according to St. John. It's love. He says, God is love. So really, life is simple. Learn to love. That's what St. John says. Learn to love. He says, nobody's seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwells in us. And his love is perfected in us. That's a great idea, but it has to be put into action. It's not put into action by writing about it, or having a thesis about it, or being ultra-correct about things. It is put into action by seeing the needs of our brother and reacting. And then our heart just becomes filled with God. It's as simple as that. There's a story that I recently read. You might have heard it too before, about a spiritual father who wanted to know if his two disciples, if they really had learned to love or not. He wasn't sure. And he was praying to God, reveal to me if they've learned to love. Because that's all he really wanted to teach him. There was a vigil at a faraway monastery that they were all going to go to. And the disciples went out ahead of him. And as the disciples were coming to the vigil, they were hurrying to be at it. There was a man that was injured, a beggar, and he begged them, saying, please help me or else I'll die. Please carry me to, you know, such and such a place where I can get some treatment or else I'll die. And they said, well, you know, we're in a hurry. We're not going to be able to make it to the vigil. And they left him. The spiritual father, following them, not that he saw this, but he followed them at some distance because he was later than them. He comes upon the same man. Well, he's filled with compunction and compassion. And so he puts the brother on his shoulders. He's an old man, and he's barely able to drag him. But he says, brother, we'll make it, you know, a little bit at a time, and we'll be able to make it, and all will be well with you. He was going to miss the whole vigil and everything else. But as he's walking, and the burden is heavy, it becomes lighter. Finally, he looks behind, and it's an angel. And then the angel disappears. So the angel was giving the answer. His disciples didn't know how to love, because they were more concerned about a vigil than the needs of a person. Now remember, when you see that person that's by the road, they're not pretty looking. And they don't act pretty either. And they're not, they just are. They're messy, because human beings are messy. But if we learn to love them, just in whatever way we can, then we have the love of God perfected in us. That's the message of St. John. Pure and simple. The reason why we have wars is because we don't follow that message. It really grieves me, especially when Orthodox Christians battle each other, such as in Ukraine. What in the world are they thinking? It's completely against the law of love. Now, there might be political things that I don't understand, but I do understand that 5,000 people have been killed. That's a terrible thing. We should never kill another man, and we should love. But it's simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. I'm convinced that the most important things I've done as a Christian and as a priest have listened to somebody. Listening is not my strong point. I don't like to do it sometimes, especially when somebody's boring, right? But you got to listen, because that's love. Maybe they're not going to really hear what you have to say, so you just listen. So you don't do anything except listen. And that's love. and to think the best of people. That's love. And to not be so quick to judge people. That doesn't mean you don't notice that people do things that are wrong. I mean, that's just insanity to pretend that people don't do things that you see with your own eyes. But to not judge them. I've been listening to sermons by Father Moses Berry from the recent St. Moses the Black Conference that I missed. They're all online. And he told the conference, but he was telling me in the car at least, when I was listening, that his mother never abandoned him. He had a mother. He was talking about the problems in Ferguson House. There are so many boys without mothers. That's one of the biggest problems. And there's always also, you know, a lot of other political problems and everything else. But he said so many boys without mothers, but he had a mother that loved him. Now, he was a rascal. And he did some criminal things when he was young, when he was very young, when he was 19. And his mother would always say, "Son, you've been framed," every time. Every time. "Son, my son's been framed." And she always was behind him. She always was looking out for him. And I think that's just a... Now, his mother, he says, she wasn't stupid. Maybe she really did know that he was guilty. But she loved him, so she didn't abandon him. Little things like that are how we love. We just see people's needs and we react to them. He gave another kind of touching story that he had aunts that, as he said, they put on airs, you know. And he was coming back from something and he was with a bunch of rascals and a bunch of girls, and they were dressed, you know, in miniskirts and stuff. And stuff that was shocking to his aunts, who always wore long skirts all the way down to the ground. So one of them was just going off on this girl about, you know, how she's looking and she's dressed like a prostitute and blah, blah, blah. And so the other aunt says to her, I don't remember her name, but it was one of those, you know, wonderful sort of vintage names, you know. I don't know what it was. But she said to her, let's just say it was Ella. "Ella, you know, remember those long skirts we used to wear when we was kids? Yeah? Yeah? Well, you know, I really think that we could get them up high just as fast as these girls could get their skirts up. Didn't stop us none." That stopped the conversation. Why did she do it? Not because she was confessing to fornication, I don't think. Father Moses doesn't think so. But just because she was looking out for her nephew. That's what she was doing. Because he was getting lambasted. They kind of deserved it, but she loved him. So she looked out for him. I think that's really profound. It's how you love people. You just look out for them. And Father, St. John looked out for people. I told you the story about the young man who was the thief. He had baptized him. He had put him in trust to a bishop. And he'd gone away, gone on travels, come back, and the young man had become a thief. So St. John ran after him. He was discovered by the thieves, and when the chief of the thieves, which was this young man, came to see, you know, their quarry that had been captured, he was terrified, and he ran away. St. John ran after him, kept running. He didn't catch up. He was an old man. But eventually the young man stopped because he just couldn't run anymore. And so St. John restored him. That's love. That's really love. St. John says, "Herein is our love made perfect." We know that God is love, and that with love we know God. So we learn to love. But it's not something very esoteric. Let esoteric stuff be for those pipe-smoking theologians who write stuff that only they read. Don't need that stuff. It's just on the ground. Taking care of people. That's what St. John teaches us. And then he teaches us something else about love. He says there's no fear in love. We're in a society that's full of fear. Everybody's afraid. That's what anxiety is. A lot of times that's what depression is. It's fear. Fear of the future, fear of others, fear of Ebola, fear of everything else. We're always afraid. Even people that are Orthodox Christians are afraid, chewed up with anxiety all the time. But St. John says there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear has torment, he says. But he that fears is not made perfect in love. Now you twist that around, really. Okay? You can't say, I got to stop fearing or else I'm not perfected in love. That won't work. That doesn't work. The way you read that sentence, as far as instructionally, is learn to love and then you won't fear. So that's what you got to do. Those are our marching orders. Learn to love others. Really simply. The last line of this epistle is what I, for many years, said was my favorite Bible verse. However, now people make fun of me because every single time I quote some verse, I say that's my favorite. So now I have about 250 favorite Bible verses. But for a long time, I was consistent, and I said this one was it. And it still is one of my favorites. Because it's a profound explanation of the Trinity, of salvation, of reconciliation with God, of everything. It's really the gospel. We love him because he first loved us. So he loves us. Let's learn to love. If you don't love, you're completely alienated from God. Doesn't matter what else you do. But if you love, it doesn't matter what else you do. If you love, it doesn't matter if you're weak. Doesn't matter if you got bad habits. Doesn't matter if you're rough around the edges. God will take care of all that. If you love, according to St. John, since perfect love casts out fear, if you love, you'll eventually have no fear. And you'll have perfect peace. We love him because he first loved us. That's the reason you do everything, brothers and sisters, just because he loves us. You don't do anything because of compulsion. Or I should say, you should feel compelled because of God's love inside you. It should be a force that is just completely impossible to stop. Like being in a river that is raging and you cannot stop yourself from being carried along by the current. Except in this case, we're jumping in the river. We want to be in the river. And we want to give up our will to the river and let it carry us. Because where God's love is always good. That's St. John's message. So let's learn to love. Not in any complicated way. Just the people around us. And then we'll have no fear. We love him because he first loved us.